Thank you very much for attending the first Godot Fest 2025. It means a lot. The other day, I was watching, I guess it was a YouTube channel, I watched it, but like the data comes from the MGTK Game Jam, and it was basically the growth of Godot in the Game Jam for projects from 2020 to 2025 to this year. And you could see that every year Godot becomes like a little bit more important in the space, and it's so important that it's basically not much that Godot is the most important game engine, at least in the indie or game jam space. With a growth rate of 27% in the last 5 years, in comparison to Unity, who fell down 22%. So, thank you. I'm now on stage with Rémi Verschelde. He is not just a project maintainer from the Godot project, he's also at W4, the partner for example, console ports, backend, like all kinds of business-related stuff in the Godot scene. And Matt Ellis from JetBrains, an IDE and CI and tool service who basically provides every professional tooling you will need as a game studio. And I would like to take this opportunity to look in front in the future to see basically what will happen in this next year in the Godot space, what needs to happen in the Godot space to make it a competitive game engine that a likes of a AAA studio could basically work with it. And that we become not just the map editor for a AAA game, but maybe the whole AAA game based on Godot. So, coming from that talk, what are the goals from the game engine right now? What do you have in mind, Rémi, especially like in the next 12 months? What can we expect?
Well, hello everyone. That's a good question. I think Godot is in a pretty good state now, as you mentioned. Like there's a lot of new users. There's like real generational change, where like a lot of younger users who are starting with Godot or like who are learning from their peers' experience that like it's actually good to be familiar with multiple engines and not just like learn a single one, because maybe they see that like in 10 years, maybe using a U engine is not necessarily like always going to be the only option. And so that it makes sense to learn more tools and be more versatile. But so for Godot, I think we're at a stage where like the engine is maturing from like mostly volunteer-driven projects where like a lot of super passionate hobbyists and also professionals, but like who have an interest in like helping shape the engine, have been bringing Godot to what it is today, and now there's a need to like go a bit to the next step and scale a bit better to like an ever-growing community. Like it's doubling in size every year, and the requirements of that community keep changing because like problems get solved, roadblocks get removed. But then new problems come, and then people can focus on other things. And it's like, okay, now this is the problem. Now this is the problem. And up until now, the foundation has been kind of playing catch with this. It's like, okay, we solved the first roadblock people have now, and then they come with a new problem, and then we solve this problem. So Godot kept getting better. I think now we're trying to anticipate a bit more, do a bit more of like product management and like reach out to Godot users, especially like professionals who are working on like commercial games and understand like what are your hurdles, what can we do to make the engine better so that we can prioritize and resolve things internally to better address these issues. And that goes together with like a bit more structure within the foundation on working on these priorities. So because a lot of the work is done by volunteers and like it's herding cats, like it's very difficult to manage volunteers, and yet it works. Like most of the work done in Godot is done by volunteers, and like that's amazing. But there's a need for maintainers. There's a need for people who can keep this all tied together. We can help, do the boring job sometime of like someone cool made a cool new feature, but now someone else needs to fix the bugs because that person is no longer available to do it. Mm. That's a responsibility of the foundation, and that takes an increasingly big part of the time. But at the same time, then Godot gets better and better. I think, like, for me, the main priority now for Godot is stability and, like, I would say, like, reliability. So, like, it's really feature-packed, and sure, like, if I ask any of you, you all have a feature you absolutely want that Godot is missing, but at the same time, you're all able to make super cool stuff with what's existing. And I think what is wasting the most time and is like the things that do not work more than the things which are missing. So that's what we are trying to focus on, to have like a really solid foundation. And then we can add more features. I mean, we're always adding more features, but for me, the priority is like fixing the bugs.
Wow, thank you. Like, I'm like making the engine more stable, making them more reliable is probably, in my view at least, a big step towards like making it attractive for bigger studios who work longer on games. And bigger studios have often bigger needs, like in case of maintaining, in case of like writing codes, managing codes. And we have our Platinum partner JetBrains here, Matt. The code space is also changing a lot, and you provide tooling, but you have also a focus on something that's like often seen with like a happy eye and a sad eye. It's AI, and AI is basically in the way of everything. Like, there are in a lot of other parts of software not a way around AI. How is it looking? What do you think is the future with AI and Godot?
That's a massive question. Yeah. Has everyone heard of AI? okay. Who's actually using AI? Okay.
It's 50% of the hands, I would assume.
All right. And then another one. Who refuses to use AI?
I would say 20%.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little less than I thought it was going to be, to be honest. AI is a bit of a divisive topic, for sure. There's some people like it, some people don't. The key thing, I think, with this is that it is there to help you. It's not there to replace you. It's there to kind of take away the boilerplate. Let AI do some of that work for you. So things like generating code, generating commit messages, explaining code is also fantastic there as well. But more of the boilerplate, like if it's going to finish off typing the line that you were going to type anyway, great. You know, it's just saved me some keystrokes and it can be a whole lot quicker. But the key thing is that it's got to be a bit more reliable and useful and suggest the things that you want it to suggest as well. So working with something like Godot and with, say, GDScript, one of the challenges there is that there is less training data than there is for other languages, other environments, other styles of working. You know, so like enterprise development, for example, there's going to be a whole load of data there which we can use for Java, for C#, for web applications, and so on. There is a little less information there for GDScript and for Godot as well. However, there is still plenty of information. So the documentation provided by the project is fantastic. And that feeds into the AI and can be used then to help explain stuff and help you learn things. So you can ask it questions in a way that it can pull it out of the documentation without you having to read the documentation and summarize for you. And the GDScript itself, while there is less data to actually train from, there's still enough to get good results. You know, we can still use that for training code completion, for example. And we know from how we do code completion in other languages, we can apply that to this language as well. So because we can do things sort of in a broad way across lots of different languages, we can apply it to things which are more restricted to a particular environment, such as gaming, such as Godot, such as this particular engine here. So I think also one of the key things there is choice as well. So you have the freedom to use it if you want to. It can help you for sure, and it can speed things up. It can help you understand some code. It can help you find issues. It can help you do boilerplates. There's a whole bunch of things it can help you do, but you're still the person who's writing the game. You're still the person who has to come up with the creative idea behind all of that and come up with, put in the hard work to make the gameplay work. The AI cannot replace that for you. You know, the AI can help you do that quicker, perhaps, but you're still the person behind the scenes driving all of that change. So I think there's a lot of things it can do for you, but you're still essential.
Hmm. I mean, the code gets more and more complex in general. Like talking about, for example, Patricia Berger just had a talk about backend services I was coming from, and W4 off hard backend services, you stopped doing that or you still have it?
Yeah, we paused that because like we had a good product, but the market demand didn't seem to match like the expectations.
Is it maybe also complexity? Because like you have to basically two code bases you have to maintain at the same time. One is usually in GDScript in the Godot editor, and the other one is somewhere else in Go or something like
that. Well, our multiplayer offering was actually, the goal was that you would just keep a single code base. So like you would write your server code in your Godot project in GDScript or in C#, and then have the option to use either peer-to-peer or dedicated servers, because Godot has this functionality that you can run Godot itself as the server, and the footprint is actually pretty good. So like you don't have to write a whole server in Go or something. You can just run Godot itself, run your project, and then some of the game logic is tagged as like running on the server, some is tagged as running on the client. So that worked fairly well. I think that was super cool. But I think it still seemed too complex. We like to say that like making multiplayer games is like 100 times harder than single player. And I think with the technology that we developed, it maybe got only 10 times harder, but that's still 10 times too much. Mm. So we paused that. Like we still have the technology in-house. Like it's open source, so people can use it if they want. But we don't provide anymore the hosting package, because the idea was that there should be economies of scale. So like it had to be something affordable where people can pay like 10, 15 bucks a month to have their game hosted. So like you can just easily make multiplayer games and get them hosted. But if you don't have the numbers of customers that take this kind of inexpensive subscription, then you cannot justify the development cost.
And if you set it up yourself and use something like Go, like I assume you can help with that, like having different code bases in the same project.
Absolutely, yes. If you've got a programming language, we can help you with it.
What would be like a killer feature you would wish Godot would have, even if it's way too complex to integrate and to put into the project, you would wish for there would be?
A make a game button? No.
Isn't that vibe coding after all?
Killer feature? I don't know. I think my wish for Godot is to become more accessible to like all members of the team. I think that was like the initial promise of Godot. Like that's how it had been developed by Juan and Ariel, where like they in Argentina, like there was no affordable game stack, so like they would go to some studios and provide them the technology, so it would be kind of like engine for hire, and they would come, and like the engine was basically built from talking to the team, seeing what kind of tools they need, and then building the tools that they need, and then just putting them together in a package. But Juan and Niall, being very clever, they didn't want to have to do all the work themselves of integrating stuff, and then artists come with this, and please put it in the game. Artists come, sound designers come with this, please put it in the game. So they made tools so that everyone could build a game, and then they could just have nothing to do, which worked apparently fairly well. So that's I think what led Godot to like have a good initial popularity, aside from being open source. It's that there was this usability from the start that like everyone could use it. And GDScript helped with that it's like a very accessible language, so you can be a game designer and start coding your game. You can be a sound designer and start coding a game, so you don't have to be a C++ programmer or C# programmer. And I think Godot still has this, but I think we need to bring it further, we need to really reach out, like everyone who wants to be able to, especially in bigger teams, I think, because now indies, I think, like with very different profiles, they can figure out how to make stuff with Godot. But in bigger teams, they have different expectations on what the workflow should be. And if you're like 3D artists used to working with Unreal, then maybe the experience in Godot might not be like up to standards. Or like if you're a sound designer used to working with FMOD and WISE, maybe you're not familiar with what Godot offers, but maybe you are and it's not good enough. So that's the thing where I would like to see more focus, and a big part of this is also just a ton of small UX work to like remove all these small decisions made by engineers for engineers, and actually like talk to all of you guys and be like, okay, how can we make this work for everyone? So it's not a big feature, it's more like...
Is there a role you would suggest that could do that? You talked about like maintainer before, but is there something you wish on your team, basically? I'm a big corporate company. We want to have a UX designer who goes through.
Yeah, I mean, that we need to go towards that, I think, to have like UX designers. For now, the foundation is still like fairly small, and it has like 10 or 12 contractors. We'd like to have people in charge of all areas of the engine hired by the foundation, including UX. But currently, we still have a lot of roles to fulfill, which require funding and then finding the right candidates. So we'll get there. But for now, we also have a lot of volunteers, contributors, and more interest on the UX side. So I think we'll be able to make changes that make things more accessible and have a bit more direct communication. Like we're talking a lot about this with Amy and others of like, go find the developers and then get them to tell you like what are the pain points, because game developers are so good at just making workarounds, like, and that's great. Like you get a tool, it has strengths and weaknesses, and you should not just spend your time trying to report the weaknesses. You should just make a game. But we need then to like get to people and be like, can we have a postmortem of like what went well, what went wrong, especially what went wrong, so we can digest that and then somehow figure out how to get this improved.
I would like to see like from the audience, like who, because like that's an interesting point, because like everyone kind of will manage a way around. Who would say from you like uses a lot of workarounds, like in general in the game engine? That's like slowly hand raising from the back towards the front. A shameful hand, like a slowly hand. And like what can help to, because like when a feature, for example, is developed, it's developed with like a specific use case in mind, but people will like decouple it and you will never have like all the use cases covered with like the features you built. Mm-hmm. What would be the solution there? Like what can kind of make it, like I know that, for example, from community posts, you don't want to have every feature in the Godot engine because it gets crowded, it gets complicated, but that would be the only possibility, wouldn't it, to kind of cater to everyone who does a workaround?
Yeah. I don't have a magic recipe for that. I think what has worked fairly well for Godot so far is to take our time to like get the feedback, get the input, and like not rush implementations, but really try to understand like what is needed to solve different use cases and what we keep trying to do and need to do more and maybe find better workflows to do is like really start from what are the problems and not what are the solutions, because that's typical like XY problem issue where like someone has a problem and then they come with a solution and then they tell you, I want to implement this because it solves my problem and it's great. But we need to hear about the 20 other people who have adjacent problems and then see if that solution actually also solves their problem or if they're left out. So that's pretty difficult. That also leads to like bit of inertia, like we wait to have like a good consensus on implementations before really committing to it. So maybe some of you are following some, especially on the JavaScript side, like highly wanted features where there's a lot of debate around like what should this actually enable, what are the use cases we want to cater to. And that's really difficult. Like also with W4, we work with some companies who tell us like, hey, I want this. And then we have to dig a bit and be like, why do you want this? And like, can you give us concrete use cases of how you would use this? And then can we like rediscuss this together and be like, is this really the right way to do what you want to do? Because like there's many different solutions or ways to address that problem. So it's that's one aspect. Like there's a lot of thinking that needs to be done before like committing to an implementation. The other approach is to do more experimental stuff and then like implement some things maybe as extensions instead of like as part of the engine and ask people like, please try this out and see if it works for you. And that's why there's a lot of great extensions now in the community that like, we always said like, for example, Terrain Engine, people were like, yeah, Godot should have a Terrain Engine. And we were like, we don't do that because like, first of all, we don't have someone to do it. And we think there's too many ways to do it. And now we have multiple great implementation of Terrain Engines that take different approaches that are useful for different kind of games as extensions. And a lot of people are using them. And I think that's how it should be. There's still some missing parts there to really make this feel fully integrated, because that's a bit the downside with extensions. It's like you have to install them manually. You have to go to the asset library and install them in every single project where you want to use them. So something we've been discussing for a long time and still haven't found the full consensus on how to implement it, or mostly like task someone with doing it, is like global add-ons, where you would be able to like add a feature that's registered somehow for all of your projects and then that you can use. And then it just extends the engine functionality and you don't have to manually copy it in every single project. There's a lot of technical considerations there because you still need it in your exported project to actually have the feature. So it needs to be in your project file at some point, but there's ways to maybe make it feel a bit more
smooth.
Yeah, a bit more smoother, yeah.
How in 2025, we're in the end of 2025, how do you set up your own projects now? Like, what is kind of the mandatory thing? You talked about add-ons, there are pipelines, when you not make a game jam game maybe, but like start a serious project. What is your setup?
I don't have a lot of time to make serious projects. So my setup is touch project.godot, and then I open Godot from the command line.
Okay.
That's not the recommended way to set up projects. But yeah, my projects are mostly trying to reproduce bugs to fix them. So I don't know. The question is like, how do you guys start your projects? But like, I think there's a lot of interest in like more tooling, more like external tooling to like augment what the engine provides, such as like CI/CD pipelines, being able to export your game easily to different platforms. And there's, depending on the kind of games you're making, there's a lot of components that like are not built into Godot that you would need. For example, if you're making a mobile game, you need to have like all the integrations for like the store platforms, the achievements, leaderboards, all these kind of things, which are things that the foundation is also starting to address a bit more directly. Up until recently, it was more like, we don't work on these because we're working on the engine itself, on like how to make the game and not on the ecosystem monetization parts. But we're seeing that it's not enough. Like there's a lot of plugins made by the community, but someone makes a plugin for their game and then they maintain it for a couple of months and then they stop. And then 10 months later, someone needs it and it's outdated. So then they fork it, and then you have like 15 forks of a different same functionality. So we're finally starting to put some resources behind that too, so we can unify like all this integration like in the central repository, and then have people from the foundation to maintain them, so that if you want to make a mobile game, you always have access to at least the first-party platform integrations. So I think that should help because Godot is still not very widespread on for mobile games. Like it's very capable in terms of like engine features, but all these integrations are really a big part of what you need to make mobile games. And a lot of the you see a lot of like Godot games which are successful on PC, and then they work with a mobile-focused publisher, and then that publisher is like, you know what? I have my own templates with like 50 SDKs integrated for like 15 different ad providers and Facebook login and whatever. So I'm just going to re-implement the game in Unity because that's what my template is using, which is a bit of a shame. But that's a problem that requires a bit of work both from the foundation on some of these, but ideally from the vendors that provide these SDKs, because like we cannot maintain everything, and like they should want Godot users to use their services, so they should eventually provide this. But that's a bit of a chicken and egg issue because there's not enough Godot games on mobile to justify it yet, maybe, but it's growing. Maybe they're seeing the trends.
Yeah, with the infrastructure, I mean, we talked about it also with the implementations for Godot and like the build pipelines. Like without a build pipeline, basically doing something on mobile is pretty complicated to export your build, to do the code signing, to get it, for example, to an Apple device. Like without a build pipeline, if you work every day on a game, that's pretty impossible. And like, therefore, we're glad we have like professional tooling partner who come and makes it possible as well without like setting up too complicated.
Yeah, exactly. Build pipelines are very important. The reproducibility of it is the being able to repeat a build and have that done the same way every time is it's a big deal. It's really useful for building more professional games and making sure that it's working, and also for making sure that your game is going in the right direction quality-wise as well. So you know this sort of involves testing too. So if you can get tests into your game and automated testing, which is always a very difficult thing in games, I'd love to see more of it. It's nice to see talks over these last 2 days about testing as well. It would be great to get more testing in, have that as part of your pipeline too, so you can check stuff in, you can see that your game is still working, hopefully, mostly. And you've got a reproducible tool at the end of it. And Godot's very good about being able to export your game as well, so it's it makes it really quite straightforward. And it means that the steps you have to build inside your pipeline are really quite small, but that just means it's more manageable, and you've got less sort of overhead for having to maintain that.
By the way, I learned a little hack for building on mobile with a mobile or a backend service. Basically, you want to build in your pipeline the authentication part of your product, and then that it just starts. It's enough to know like the build is kind of working and connecting, and you can play it. Mm-hmm. And it saved so many hours of like QA teams coming in, and like then nothing is there to play and to test. So build pipelines and testing is a great recommendation, by the way.
Testing is just huge. It's coming from other areas from game dev. There's so much testing going on there that when you come and see game dev and it's like, hands up who's doing testing, and everyone's kind of like a little bit and a bit sheepish about it. It can be a huge win to make sure that things are working, but it is also a very difficult topic. And I think the more, as an industry, we can invest in that and understand how to do testing, the better things will be. Mm-hmm. Automated testing, that is.
Now we basically, the engine is in a mature state. Like I saw, was it Paul Brittman who did a talk about the new music streaming service features in Godot 4.3 and their capabilities, it becomes like a really mature engine with the new rendering pipeline as well. But tooling is there. What is missing for like now the first AAA title basically to appear, besides a big studio with a lot of money? Like in your opinion, speculation, of course. I mean, you must have thought about it.
Yeah.
Sorry to put you on the
spot. It requires, I think, for a AAA studio to be able to use Godot, it requires probably an in-house engineering team because that's how they used to work, and like making changes to the engine to adapt to their pipelines, because I think Godot has very specific pipelines of like, okay, how do you get meshes or like scenes in the game, like how do you deal with animation and stuff like that. And those work, like Blender folks use them and like had to deal with what works, what doesn't work. I think in like the scale of like AAA games, they would not want to put up with that. I mean, they're doing it to some extent with like the Portal stuff for Battlefield. Really impressive how much of stock Godot they are using. But I think, yeah, there needs to be a lot more flexibility in like what you can do. And there's a risk that like adding that flexibility makes Godot less accessible for like the indies or like the other parts of the market. So like, I don't know if Godot has a vocation to be really like a AAA engine. I think it can be used by like AAA studio to make more smaller games. But like to make a Call of Duty or Battlefield, I don't know, could happen. But that would need to come with like, yeah, some very dedicated engineers that want to work together with the foundation and can find an alignment on like how can we shape things to work with for our workflows without disrupting everything else that makes Godot great for indie developers.
So something from the tooling side?
Well, I wanted to jump in first. I think a key thing there is also experience. You know, the AAA AAA studios need to have experience with Godot as well. And so the map editor, that's fantastic. That's really, really exciting because they're actually shipping something. They've built something, they've used it, and they're shipping something in Godot. And yes, it's a small thing, but it's there. It's fantastic. They're getting the experience of working with it. And so they're going to be able to then move on and build bigger and better things based on that experience. So learning how the engine works and shipping something, you can't beat shipping software. Once you've shipped it, then you know so much more about it. And the next time around, you're going to be able to build something better. And so experience is you know, just huge.
I was actually super curious if they use the map editor as well as the in-house tool for making the maps, or if they use the Frostbite engine for that as well.
So dog fooding is also very important too. So yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And tooling, I mean, always when I asked studios about why don't you switch to from Unity to Godot, what is kind of the main reason you're stopping that? It's actually always the tools they created, they have, and they use. And mm-hmm. it's too much of an effort to recreate everything they basically built and to switch to Godot.
Yeah, that's where I think like a lot of the adoption of Godot is driven mostly by new people coming to like the market. So like students who graduate want to start their own indie studio, and many of them choose Godot right away because they tried it as a student and they liked it. Potentially people who are laid off from other studios or AAA companies and like, hey, I'm going to start my own Godot project because they've been playing with it on their free time and now they want to really go all in. While like established studios, I think there's a few who have migrated to Godot, but like many of them, as you say, they have so much tooling in-house that it doesn't make sense business-wise to just move to a different technology unless they are really like feeling insecure about like their business future with Unity, which was the case a couple of years ago, but it was quickly the tension was resolved, so that studio were like, okay, we still have a good few years to make business using this technology. So I think things are a bit stabler now, and that's great because like I love to play games made with Unity and I want to play more. So but yeah, I think it's really hard for an established studio to really uproot themselves to a new technology.
But I started with the data from the MGTK game jam and the growth of the Godot engine basically, and soon, like if everyone makes a lot of advertisement, and this year, we will next year actually have being like on even with the Unity guys in the game jam from the created games. For the first year, like in theory, if we stay with the projection line.
Yeah, so I think this year there was like 2% difference, yeah, between Unity and Godot. But yeah, these are I mean, I don't have hard evidence, but my perception from talking to people is like game jams like that, especially GMTKs, you have a lot of Rubyists for whom Godot might be like the first number one choice. And then you have people who use Unity professionally or Unreal professionally, but they want to play with Godot on their free time. So it's not necessarily a reflection of like trends in the industry itself. I think it's more like showing what people want to use if they get a choice and if they have the luxury of participating in game jams, which not everyone does. So it's really good indication of like the interest and the growth of Godot popularity. But I don't know if we can really map that to projections for the industry. I think the latest state of the industry thing from GDC, like they featured Godot for the first time this year, and it was at like 4% reported usage. Mm. I'm expecting next year might be 6 or 7. So like the growth is huge, but we're not just like in 2 years at like 50% or something. Mm.
Also for partners, Godot, like the game engine that's still growing, and maybe also this event can still grow, even if it's really, really great to have everyone here, like to have such a great event with so many people. It's amazing how many projects are actually showcased here, how many people actually like talked to each other, had new project ideas and came together. And if over there Max, for example, can get a microphone, and we can maybe also open up if there's some questions from the audience towards the future of Godot and the next steps. You're very welcome to raise your hand, and I see one over here, for example, over there.
Does it work? Yeah. Okay, hi. So you said something really great about feedback from developers of games. Is there any process or maybe some plans for you to process any loop, feedback loop from developers of successful games like Halls of Torment that came and talked here to see what they liked or what they would have liked to have? Because if their games are so successful, then they probably have good insight into what could help other developers as well.
Yeah, we're still figuring out the details, but like some of it is meeting at events and just chatting and hearing about stuff and then asking them to send an email with all their complaints. Some of it might take the form of like a private Discord for like a few invited like users who have made like commercial successes with Godot, and then we get their feedback. But eventually there's probably also a need for like maybe I don't know, some a polling system where like we currently have like a community poll every year, but we mostly share this on like social media, so like you get answers from people who follow Godot on social media, and that's not everyone. So it could be interesting to do a bit more work there in like how to get quality data out of the community, always still like respecting the open source ethos of Godot. Like we don't necessarily want to like add telemetry and stuff and then report anytime someone does a workaround, as we were joking earlier. But like, yeah, I think there would be ways to like ask a bit more directly people to provide their feedback with like a streamlined process that doesn't take too much time, but maybe we can fill a form like in 10 minutes and then maybe be contacted if there's something that's particularly interesting that you mentioned. And that, and then the way I would like us to use that feedback is to make some kind of like working group around that. Like we started doing these for some things, like some mobile SDK integrations that I need for some game, with like a few established game developers who reached out and was like, okay, we're making this game for mobile and we're running into these issues and we want to solve them. And then we have a small working group with like some game developers, some Godot contributors, and then together we iterate faster on like, okay, what's needed? Let's make it happen. And then they test it, they provide feedback. So it doesn't have to take a lot of time. It's still some time investment from them that they contribute. Like that's a way to contribute to the engine, and not everyone can do that. But with a few people like that, basically we managed to make like a lot of progress quickly.
I just want to jump in quickly there as well and say this is not a game industry specific problem. We have a very similar thing. You know, we want to get feedback from people on how our tools work, whether it's Ride or any of the tools. And that involves talking to customers and customers talking to us as well. So there's lots of people, you see it on social media, it's like, oh, it doesn't work. I'm like, well, what are you asking over there for? Come and talk to us. You know, we want to listen and do these kinds of things, but we need customers to talk to us. So, you know, if you are doing workarounds for things, let the developers know so that they can sort of say, oh, well, I didn't even know you were doing a workaround for that because I didn't know it was broken in that way or wasn't fulfilling what you needed from it.
Okay. So first of all, thank you for the amazing job you're doing with Godot. And, you know, my question is not about AAA Studio, but in general, Godot has been seen as not production ready for the industry for the most part in its past. Do you see a trend of that changing for smaller studio? I'm not talking big productions, but something that we can see as an opportunity to actually get a job as a Godot developer for a smaller studio that do small games, if you have a perception from the inside.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely growing. Like, you can see the data on, like, on SteamDB, for example. You can see, like, data on Godot releases on Steam, and it's growing there every year by, like, 50 to 60%. So there's like a lot more Godot games being made, and that's much faster growth than any. Like, there's a growth for other engines too, because, you know, it's indie apocalypse. Like, everyone, there's more games on Steam every year, but like the growth for Unreal is maybe around 10%, Unity maybe 5, and then Godot is 60. So it starts from lower numbers, obviously. So there's still more Unity and Unreal games made every year than Godot, but it's catching up with Unreal and it's really progressing fast. So that shows that there's more more games, more studios or more indies choosing to use Godot. You can also, like, there's some websites providing estimates of, like, revenues of games published on Steam, and then you can also cross-reference that with, like, games made with Godot, and then I think for this year, last time I checked, there was around like 100 million euros accumulated revenue from like games on Steam. And that's a lot more than last year and like 100 times more than a few years ago. So there's a very big commercial growth. So on PC for sure. On mobile, I'm starting to see a bit more uptake too. But yeah, it's starting from like it's a slower process, I feel, because as I mentioned, there's still some elements which are not as mature. On PC, it's kind of there already. And yeah, in general, events like this also show like there's a lot more studios, and like many of the studios using Godot are hiring more, like have more staff. New studios get created, so like we definitely see a big uptick in commercial usage.
There are several studios actually here right now using Godot, and it's not always the easiest to find new engineers for that, because they are like, there's a lot of Unity engineers like basically on the market that you can approach, but not as many Godot engineers that have maybe a track record or like experience in that. And for example, if you're in Finland, you're welcome to talk to me as well, because we have the same problem there. But it's probably in every country that there's not so many studios looking for people, but like the studios who are looking, it's not as easy to fill the positions with more than a student, for example, or like a very junior developer.
Yeah, there's a bit of a problem of like visibility of like who needs Godot users and who has the expertise. The foundation is also working on a job board that should help like connect people, so you can say like, actually I'm looking for someone who knows about Godot, and then you can come and be like, yeah, I have 8 years of experience in Godot, so I'm like a great fit for what you need. And I'm seeing also like, and that's a general industry trend, that like there's a lot more distributed work, so like can be across countries. Like studios are happy to work with people in different countries as contractors. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for people experienced with Godot, but yeah, they're not always easy to find. And sometimes we get studios reaching out and be like, can you recommend someone? And that's also difficult because we know a lot of people, but like who to pick. So having something that's a bit more streamlined, I think will help studios to find the talent that they need, and then to also confirm to people that like there is jobs if you learn Godot. Because we still, a lot of students still say like, yeah, I like Godot, but there's no jobs for Godot, so I'm going to learn other engines. And I'm like, you should learn other engines, but there are jobs for Godot. So if that's what you want to do, you will find them.
Thank you so much, Remy. Thank you, Matt, for being here at the Godot Fest and being here on the panel or on the fireside chat as well. A round of applause before... Thank you.
Thank you.